مارك السهابة، The Voice of أهل السنة والجماعة.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Respected listeners of مارك السهابة، The Voice of أهل السنة والجماعة. We welcome you to this program. Friday's Jumu'ah, you know, is with Hazrat Mawlana Salman Yunus Hafidhahullah. And this day is the 19th of Rabiul Awal. Time is flying. Let's welcome Mawlana. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum
salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, how's Mawlana doing? How's the urban doing?
Alhamdulillah, everything is well. It's a cool day today. I think yesterday was a very hot day, one of the hottest days I think we had in a long time. And today, alhamdulillah, it's cooling weather.
Alhamdulillah. What's the latest news in Durban surrounding areas you can share with us, Mawlana?
Not too sure. I really have no idea of any latest happenings or news or anything like, you know, that's the talk of the moment or and something new has happened. And everything is still the same, that day is good in itself, that nothing has happened. Alhamdulillah, I think more than anything, everyone's looking forward to the, like you see the students in Madrasa and things now, they're all talking about just few more weeks, two more weeks or something left for the school holidays, and that's what they all are waiting for.
I did share this earlier, but I would like, just before we go to your topic, inshallah, that we mentioned this as well. There's this book we have, it's called On This Day. So I open it from time to time. It's written by the Westerners, and they give all their information according to how they wish it should be understood and how the world should understand it. So we know yesterday was 9/11. But we Muslims, we should remember 9/12, this was in 1970, when this event took place. They say hijackers, we say brave mujahideen. They went and they took these three jets. It was filled with passengers, Western Airlines, and it was Pan American, Jumbo, a Swiss Air DC-8, as well as a TW Boeing 707. Allah alone knows how they succeeded in this. But alhamdulillah, they managed to get hold of it. They captured 200, or it was 300 passengers, 250 they set free. So they didn't bomb the way they portrayed to be, with the people inside and the rest. They set them free. They kept about 56 passengers. But the whole goal, this is what they undermined. They don't mention this much. The reason for this was, you have our Palestinian prisoners. That is why. So they said, we're keeping these 56 passengers and until you release our Palestinian prisoners. So there was, and the negotiations continued. They managed to take these planes before it was bombed. They took it to places such as Jordan as well as Cairo, and the negotiations. This is how you have to deal with them. You cannot think you will, you know, emulate. Take schools. We make all these Muslim schools and the rest, but you've taken their model and now you want to apply it to the Muslimin. It can't work like that. You have to have your own models. And we have our own models. We have how many models from the time of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. But nobody is willing to go their truth. Jee Mawlana, I wish you could just share with us a few comments on this, inshallah.
Many a times we forget also that we have the ability, we have the power, because we have Allah Ta'ala. And as the hadith mentioned, this came to my mind as you said about Wahan. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned that we will be the largest in the numbers, but we'll have no... The summary of the hadith is, we have no power in the world, we have no say in the world, because the love of the world will have entered our hearts and the dislike of death will be in one's heart. And we see that happening. And when, like you mentioned about this incident, then we realize, hey, our Muslims, how they did this, how they managed to do this, the thing is that we can do it. It's like how we often tell a person, everyone is a da'i, everyone can invite towards Allah Ta'ala. It's just that our environment that we are in, we forget about it. We forget that we have this capability, we have this power. Because we are surrounded by the Western forces and the non-Muslims, and they want us to be like them, and they want us to forget of the capability and the ability that we have as Muslims. Because we are the only religion in the world, the only people in the world that are not afraid of death. Everyone else is afraid of death, and that's the greatest fear of any living person. Not one is hunger, one is poverty, but the greatest fear of anyone is death. And we as Muslims, because we don't fear death, because we understand that death is the start for our eternal happiness. We're going to meet Allah, we're going to be in Jannah. So that's why we don't fear death. So for us to go and do these actions of jihad and to assist the mujahideen and to become part of them, this has been supposed to be something within our blood, within our understanding, our framework. But that from that young age, it's already erased. It's not even spoken about. Children are grown up, they don't even understand what is jihad. And because now and then they are getting some sort of dosage, whether it's in the schools or whether they're reading something on the internet of the bad or the negativity of jihad, without even being told what jihad is, so they grow up and they grow up in their mindset of having the negative perception of jihad. But if from that young age they grow up to understand your power as a Muslim, your purpose in this world, that don't be dying, don't be fooled, don't feel sorry, that certain things have to be done. If everything is being done to the Muslims currently, so for us to, what we'll say, retaliate, or even not to retaliate, even to initiate, then it's not a problem at all. Now, sometimes people have that inferiority complex and they'll say, no, jihad is only on the defensive, only on the defensive. No, jihad is not only on the defensive. It's also we going and taking land, going and fighting those that want to reject Allah Ta'ala, that doesn't want to obey Allah Ta'ala. And someone said so nicely, I think yesterday or the other day I was reading it, and he said, y'all want to complain about the jizya, the tax that Muslims charge non-Muslims when they're staying in a Muslim state, when they're under the Khilafah system and they are staying there, but you are prepared to pay 30-40% of income tax to a government that's doing nothing for you. Whereas when you are paying the jizya, staying as a non-Muslim under Muslim rule, you got the best safety, you got the best provisions, you got the best services available to you. But now look at how the world has toppled everything, that the system of Islam has been seen as negative, whereas there's only positive in it. And the problem lies with all of us, that we haven't taught ourselves and the children about these things. So like how you mentioned this incident of the plane. They went and did it. Why they did it? Because of the situation, the circumstances surrounding it, and they only kept those numbers of people that were required for the hostages that they wanted back. But as you see how they report it, how they project it forward, terrorists did this, that. And just recently, I think there was some prominent person in America, it was very controversial also, it was part of the Trump movement, I think some Kirk, I remember reading many of his articles and listening to some of his clips also. And on one end, like I saw many Muslims even saying about him good stuff, but they don't realize on the flip side, because he used to speak out on transgender a lot, LGBT, targeting all those things and giving what would be good arguments to those group of people, because he was against it. But on the flip side also, when we don't realize and we just only take one side of the coin, and now people feel sorry for what happened to him. He got killed, got shot dead in one of the, I think the lectures he was giving one of the universities. And he was known for this year. He goes to universities and challenges the students. And I always found that amazing. So why is he challenging students? Why doesn't he challenge someone who's more higher, someone with more knowledge that could basically argue better? Because he'll be on your level. And people will be amazed. They can't answer him. But those are students. This is a well-trained person in debate in all the field that he is coming in. So whatever happened to him, he's dead, he's gone, his Jahannam has started. But we have to realize when it came to Israel, when it came to this white supremacist mindset, he was very for all of these things. If you listen to his clips and if you read these things, he was for these things. And that is what we'll say, that they won't show you these parts, or they'll show you it without you even thinking it to be bad. And that's the mindset that we have to be very wary of. That they'll show us the Western world also, without showing us the slums, without showing us the theft, without showing us the crime and the amount of gang wars and amount of murders that are taking place day in and day out, the unemployment rate in those very countries. And if we want to take up to these countries and these people as role models, It's something I think why we, that I don't know how to open up the mind on these aspects.
Exactly, just before we spoke, I think it was 5 minutes before we spoke, we started speaking. Then I played this clip of this person. He was breaking all this Charlie Kirk's arguments. He said, just in a nutshell, that Islam doesn't have freedom of speech. So he said, explain why he's saying this here. He's saying Islam doesn't have freedom of speech so that they can attack Islam, so that they can say whatever they want to about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is why. But if you take any religion, any country, any place you go, Islam doesn't teach this. Islam doesn't teach you go and you burn up churches and you go and you spit on their walls, or you, because you're going to do that to them today, they're going to do it to you tomorrow. And they're going to, there's no hope then for them to come onto the pathway. So Islam doesn't teach you to go down to their standards. You must remain on your standard and you must remain firm. So he wants freedom of speech only on this basis, so that he can keep on attacking Islam, keep on calling Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with derogatory names and words and all of this. That's why he wants freedom of speech. But if you look at it, every country, every place has their ways and their methods of protecting, defending, and where certain things are accepted, certain other things are unacceptable. So similarly, Islam doesn't allow these things on this basis. Anyway, Mulana, it's just strange. His name is also Charlie, and that other cartoonist, his name was also Charlie. So they all have.
the name maybe has an influence, and as you know, name has influences on it all. Definitely Charlie and the Chocolate Factory also.
Yes, how they spend so much of time with in school, they used to make us watch such haram and all of this here. For what? So much of time being wasted. But we used to make excuses. We used to say, you know what, Islam doesn't, you know, when you're young, when you just want to have a free period, it's not that you didn't watch TV or whatever it was.
Yeah.
You made an excuse because it suited you. But now you realize all of this here. Anyway, Mulana, I don't want to take up much more of your time. What does Mulana want to address today for the Ummah?
I think just continuing on whatever we have been speaking so far. One is to realize that the greater push out there, and not just to follow what we are being fed, and this is a cry given all the time. Don't just trust the media, don't just trust what people are telling you, especially in today's time. For yourself, there's so many avenues that you can do the research and go and see it, because they only want you to know what they want you to know. This whole attack now in Qatar with the bombing of what they say, the attempted assassination of the Hamas leaders there. All this year, if a person just has to vaguely even look at this, they all understand this all was a planned thing. All is one. Israel, United States. That how easy was it to get into the Qatar airspace where they got so many military equipment, radars, all of these things. So it's a whole big game the world is. The world is a whole big game of just two or three people or countries that we say are controlling everything. And the only solution is that we have to turn to Allah Ta'ala. There's nothing else. And we'll continue to be made as puppets. We as Muslims will continue to be seen as powerless and having no say in the world as long as we don't realize that our only power and success lies in turning back to Allah Ta'ala. It's not in gifting planes and other stuff to the leaders of the non-Muslim world thinking, no, they'll take it easy. Never. They've got their own mindset, they've got their own thing, and that's why the Hadith, the Quran mentioned so beautifully that Kufr is one religion. One religion. They will all target Islam together. But for them, their goal is the world. For them, their goal is the world. And just to touch on what I wanted to speak on today, inshallah, but we can see how by them making our youth and us Muslims idolize the ways of the West and the people of the West, now to go against the people of the West, those same youngsters feel it hard in their heart when that alim speaks about it, or the Muslims are saying, you know what, this way of life now we can't do it. We're not supposed to be doing it. These countries we're not supposed to be visiting. These people we're not supposed to be looking up towards. Why is it so hard for that young population, for the youth, to find it in their heart that, hey, how can I be following such a person? But still you will find them still going ahead. Because from that young age, it was already instilled in their hearts growing up that love of that soccer star, the love of that movie person, the love of these countries, the love of this way of eating and dressing. So now all of a sudden you want to tell them, hey, boycott all of this here now. Stop all of this here. It has been years of, what we'll say, programming within their minds. Not going to stop overnight. And this is what they wanted. That now when the Muslim Ummah, the ulama and the pious wake up and they say, now we have to wake up with jihad. Now we have to wake up and go against their ways. We'll have the rest of the half that are already programmed with the love of the Yahud and Nasara, with the love of the Western world, saying, no, these Muslims are not for us. These are extremists. These are radicals. They are orthodox. They don't understand the modern world. So everything is done, and we have to realize that this is the plot of Shaytan. Shaytan, he got till Qiyamah. He is in no rush. Very quickly, like one of the nights, inshallah, also on our Tuesday night program, we were supposed to explain, and I think, inshallah, we'll start over the next one on the Prophet of the Stories, or the Stories of Anbiya alayhi wasalam, where the history of idol worship, more and more in detail, inshallah, we'll give it. But just to understand how this idol worship started and how it actually has modernized in today's time to what we are doing in today's time, that from Nuh alayhi salam, from Adam alayhi salam, there was Tawheed. And then it came to the time of Nuh alayhi salam, where along the way people lost their way and they started worshipping idols. And Nuh alayhi salam was the first Nabi to have to deal with taking people out of idol worship. All this was explained, alhamdulillah, in our series, right? The recordings, the podcasts are all available, inshallah. But I want to highlight this one point which we never discussed, and inshallah we will discuss soon, but because it's all so linked up, and we have to be able to join the dots in order to see. How did the people leave from Tawheed into idol worship? We find under the verses of Surah Nuh, when the tafsir comes, that the explanation under these words, that these are the five idols of the people of what you'll say before Nuh, and that of Nuh who used to worship these idols. But how did they come about? That when there was Tawheed, and there was people worshipping only Allah, and there was the pious of the time only worshipping Allah Ta'ala, then when that pious person who was loved by everyone, they passed away, then they were missing them. Very short, quickly putting it in a nutshell, because we've got few points to make. They were missing them. Then Shaytan came in the disguise of a man. He came to them and said, I am missing this person, this pious person. He said, yes, you're missing them. He says, then why don't you create a picture? He said, I can draw for you a picture even. I'm a good artist. Describing to me, I remember seeing him even. I'll draw it for him and we'll put it in your masjid, in your mosque, in your place of worship. So whenever you go there, you'll see this person's face and you'll feel more pious. That's how you say you spend the time in the company of the pious, you're being there, just sitting in the gathering, and you automatically have that spiritual effect on you. You feel it being good. So they said, why you don't do this here? Whenever you see it, you'll feel encouraged towards doing good. So they said, very good, excellent idea, let's do it. And Shaytan works with a long-term goal, not short-term goal. So over the years pass and times pass, then Shaytan came, you know what? Now it's only in your mosque, in a place of worship. Why don't you make more pictures or make a sculpture even and a monument and take it into your homes? So that way, even in your home, when you're worshipping, you can feel the effect of the pious person. So they said, very good, let's do this here. And they did this. And this carried on for long. The children grew up while this all happened. And as the years passed, the generations came through. Those generations looking at their father, youngster looking at their father every day, waking up, looking at the picture, looking at the idol, looking at the monument, that father knew he's not worshipping it. Or perhaps over time, he even started to think, I may ask of this here. And that child is watching all of this. And now that child, when that father passed away, when the senior passed away, he grew up thinking, this is what my father worshipped. This is what my father worshipped. And like this, idol worship started in the world. As you said, you put it very quickly, very summarized, but that's how idol worship developed. Why are people thinking we are worshipping or we are doing something good initially? We are just remembering the pious. But over time, that was forgotten and people started to think these are what we are actually worshipping. Right? So in our current day context, if you look at it, we find ourselves with all these ways of the West, all the ways of the modern world, and they don't even shy away. They call it American Idol. They call it your idols. Who is your idols? Who do you follow? Whether it's in soccer, whether it's in cricket, whether it's in sports, in music, whatever it is. But they call them your idols. And the youngsters even say, this is my idol. They use the same word. What was the need to even use the same word? But this is how it, everything is exposed. So they're following them, how they look, how they dress, how they eat, what they're doing. So now, it's like, imagine, this is where the point comes in. Imagine now, when the people of Nuh alayhi salam also, and all the other Ambiya, when they went through the same thing, they said, do you expect us to leave our idol and come to what you are calling? Because that love of this idol entered their heart. That love has entered their heart. Now for them to leave it and come to the truth, they couldn't. They said, our forefathers did this. This is what we always knew. What you are telling us is something strange. Now when we are telling the world, we are telling the Muslims, we are telling the Ummah, leave the Western way, leave the Western lifestyle, leave the ways of the kuffar and the sports stars. Because they have this whole understanding of this is my idol, this is who I have to look like, this is who I have to be like, this is the way of life I need to emulate, I must get this job, I must get this car, I must get this house. And now when you tell them we have to make jihad, time is soon where the Khilafat is coming back, inshallah, where the jihad is going to be revived, if not already revived, where now the Darul Aman is no more existing, now it's either Darul Islam or Darul Kufar, is one of the two, you have to choose. It's not now that Darul Aman where we only have to be in this land of safety. Now we have that land of Hijrah, we have that land of Islam. Now you have to make that migration, you have to make that Hijrah, because now we don't have to stay in a non-Muslim land anymore. We can go into our Muslim lands where full Sharia is implemented. And that's where the worry of many Muslims lie. That am I ready to follow Sharia completely? Am I ready? Am I Muslim? Am I submitting? That now, if I'm going to go for jihad, now if I'm going to be under a Khilafat system again, that everyone says I want a Khilafat system, but who's making dua? Everyone's backing off. Why? Because we don't want to leave that Western way. That way has been idolized in our life. It has been so glorified that if anyone has to come with anything else, I'm too comfortable. That even if all the Jews and the Kuffar have to be destroyed off the world, but their ways will still continue in our hearts. And that is where our weakness and our downfall lies, which we have to see how to remove it completely. And just one last point, we will see how history repeats itself. How history, this is not by the way of what we have been discussing by this on all this time now, but how history repeats itself. That we see at the time of Nuh alayhi salam, people who started idol worship by first taking the pious people as someone as pious, they were pious. But over time it led to worshipping the pious, worshipping the dead. And we find ourselves in Rabiul Awwal now also, that how many people have fallen back into this idol worship of the dead, worshipping the dead. If we see many groups of people praying to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, asking from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, asking from the dead. We see many a times here in our areas, in many places, the posts are coming out. We're having at this mazar, at this grave of such and such person, this program, that program. Everyone is like a ibadat they are going for. Can we not learn from history? Can we not learn from Quran? Quran is our guide. So, just by the way, this other point of idol worship and falling back into this way of idol worship, as we don't realize that people are asking of the dead also. People are asking of the grave. People are asking of these pious people and how it all started. Just like how we explained at the beginning of Shaytan and those people. But inshallah, we will explain it more in detail and more better on one of our segments on Tuesday night, inshallah. A lot has been said today, so I don't know what Morana is planning to title this here, but inshallah, khair will come out of it.
Mixed bag, inshallah, sometimes. Sometimes it's good. That's why certain programs, I just name it off the cuff or something that was discussed unexpectedly. But alhamdulillah, we learn a lot and the listeners also learn a lot like this. Make dua for us, Moana. We'll meet you on Tuesday night, inshallah. Your program is 8 to 9, if that's correct. 8 to 9 on Tuesday nights. Gee, the prophets, the stories of the Anbiya alayhi wasalam related to current day issues. We'll meet you next week, Mulana. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah.